You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 30th, 2023, and is titled, All for the Gospel. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
You're not taking communion wrong. You're not as jacked up as they are. You're not the church of Ephesus who just needs to get whipped into shape. He wants to speak to a faithful group of people who are ready to be in chains, who are ready for what's coming and willing because they believe in the advancement of the gospel. When you look at the Ephesians, they... Christianity was kind of all about me, and the Corinthians were the worst. It's all about me. Hey, if I lose poopsie, can I get another one? I mean, that's in there, chapter 7. Yeah, it's all about me. Church of Philippi, it was about the advancement of the gospel because Paul knew how to shepherd, and he led by example. If you didn't hear the teaching yesterday morning, right here, you should go back and listen to it on Muleshoe Fellowship Group and talk about shepherding and overseers, leading by example, being self-funded. See, that's the number one qualification for DJT to lead this movement. He don't have to do this. He's self-funded. It'd be a lot easier for him to quit. Yeah, I'm the same way. Man, if none of you show up, I got enough money to buy me and her supper at Leo's tonight. Tomorrow night and the next night and the night after that. We're self-funded. We don't do this because we have to. We don't do this for any other reason other than the fact that now we've come to a place where, you know, for about a year now, I've kind of been stumbling around wondering, you know, kind of where we're going with this, what are we doing with this, and all of a sudden I woke up a couple mornings ago and I got a reason to get up in the morning. I got a reason to tell this word because there's a group of faithful people that believe this. You believe it. You know why? It's believable. It's very believable. Said I, Paul, Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, verse 1, chapter 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. That's the overseers. Not the way you got it in your mind. I'm going to ask you all a favor. All of you who grew up in church, please renew your mind about deacons and bishops. And elders, go study them. Forget everything you've been told and start over, okay? You might find yourself in a position. I want to just add to that because I didn't get it in there yesterday morning, but I remember one of the things that happened when we first became a church. When we came to Muleshoe, God told us to come to Muleshoe and lead a Bible study. And in my infinite wisdom, I veered off. And then all of a sudden we're leading a Bible study and people think we need to have a church, so we become a church. You know, we get our credentials and now we're legal. You can write checks to this outfit and it'll be tax deductible. That ain't in here anywhere. Then they decided they need to pray over me and you know, 52 Hail Marys, whatever, and I'm ordained. Now, the guy was 5 minutes before I got ordained. And the guy was 5 minutes after I got ordained was the same darn guy, other than I got this extra piece of paper now. And they make you believe that with that piece of paper, you can now marry him and bury him. I don't try to give their paper back. I don't mind burying them so much because all the dead ones have stayed dead. The marrying, that ain't went quite that good. My record ain't that great. But in the midst of starting a church and doing all we were doing, I didn't know what I was doing. She didn't know what she's doing. Well, nobody knew what they was doing, and we were stumbling around doing this deal, and I'll never forget, a guy called me one day, and he would be the kind of guy that would call you one day and say, are you going to appoint any deacons? Well, he had made error because, unlike him, I'd been reading my Bible and studying it. I'd done asked myself a lot of questions about how organizations do that kind of stuff. So I'd come to some conclusions. He said, when are you going to appoint some deacons? I said, as soon as I know where there's some at. I'm assuming you want to be one. You didn't make the short list. You call me wanting to be a deacon, you're the first guy that ain't going to be one. Because apparently you don't even know what that means. If you knew what this means, you wouldn't ask for it until God called you to it. Did you hear that? You wouldn't ask for it until God called you to it, because it's a big deal to oversee and to shepherd. If you're not careful, that's the same kind of big deal to make your heart hard. Because it ain't much fun. So, that all being said, I told him, I said, in this outfit, we'll never have to appoint anybody to anything. Because through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the cream will come to the top. And those who are called to deek will deek. And those who are called to lead will lead. Leaders show up. They're not appointed. You find them. They're the ones everybody goes to. That's the leader. So, just a little side note on that. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I always took that scripture personal. Every time I, you know, my worst enemy stares at me every morning when I brush my teeth. The one guy in my life that'll mess me up meets me at the sink every morning, and we share a toothbrush together. He's looking right at me. So I always thought that scripture was about me, that he's going to do this good work in me until the day of completion. That always gave me hope, because every time I saw my mistakes, every time I messed something up, I knew, okay, but God said he's going to stay with me. He's going to keep working it out until it's over, until I finally get finished. I just always thank God that he had a lot of patience, because he had a lot of job security. A lot of stuff needs fixed. And then I read this again this week, especially this morning after my heart changed. And he said, I think of you. And I pray for you with all joy because of what God's doing in you. And he's going to keep doing it till the day of completion. He's been doing it from day one. There are some people in this group. This group is not easy to be a part of. We don't do the right things to keep y'all together. We don't bring in a lot of outside entertainment. We don't have any potluck suppers. We don't do that. I can tell you why. We're busy and we're tired. Yeah, if I need something to eat, we'll grab a burrito at Ulster's on our way through while we're doing something else. But there are some people who have been here from the beginning, whose DNA is on this. And then some of you have come in and stayed. Some of you came and left and you came back. Some of you are watching on this camera. We talked about it yesterday morning. We had people in the Bible study yesterday morning from Iowa. We had them from California, Arizona, North Dakota, South Dakota. We had them in Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas. They were from everywhere. They're on there tonight. Everybody from everywhere. This word is going out across this United States of America to the people of God, the church that resembles the church of Philippi. It's about us. It's about us as a group. He started something here 21 years ago that he's going to carry on to the day of completion. And I'll bet you everything in this billfold. And look, I've been working. There's money in here. I'll bet you everything in this billfold that there's not another preacher within 1,000 miles of this place that will tell you this in the next 10 days that God is instigating a movement. And you are called to be part of it. So when my heart began to soften, I began to not see me. I began to see you guys again. Not because I'm going to baby you along through your mess. No, suck it up, buttercup, and let's get to going here. But because people of God who are interested in the Word of God are called to something. And so when he told me, don't do Ephesians, don't talk to them like the church of Philippi. You got a group of believers under your nose. Treat them like that. Watch what's happening to them, and I'm going to carry this on to the day of completion. We're in this together. We're in this together. And I believe with all my heart that now I'm realizing that as the guy who's the overseer and the mouthpiece around here, that you're going to see these seats fill back up. Not because we're trying to build an organization, but because we got something to do. And it's bigger than us, and it's generational. And God's going to use this word, and he's going to use my little voice to speak to it and to encourage you, to empower you, and to inspire you to something God is doing right under our nose, and we can be part of it. And he said, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Well, that sounds a little mushy, doesn't it? Inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of that grace. Here's what Paul's saying. We're all in this together. Cover me, Dano. I'm going in. Locked up in prison for the gospel and knowing that still everything was done for the advancement of the gospel. Knowing that everybody that he spoke to, everybody he was partners with, was a partner in the suffering, partner in the advancement. We were in this together. I will never stand up here and preach and call you to something that I wouldn't put my toe in first. When it comes time, and you all know, when it comes time to take a stand, to be public about it, about any situation where evil wants to come into the camp, wants to mess us up and destroy us or anything else, I don't care if you're a false prophet that I got to lead to the parking lot. I've been doing that for 20 years. I don't care if you're a witch and your head spins around and you spit green stuff all over. I'll tend to you. All the demonic and all the stuff, I don't care. I'll tend to it. I don't mind. I'll take care of y'all. It's not going to happen in here. Not going to allow it. I'm going to tend to it. But when they come one of these days and they want me to do a gay marriage, I ain't doing it. Y'all know I ain't doing it. I ain't taking the jab and I ain't doing a gay marriage. That's all there is to it. I hadn't said anything about the jab until now, but wisdom is proved right by our action. If you ain't figured it out by now, then you need my help. That's just how it is. I ain't doing either one. So praise God, I got y'all to stand with me. I wouldn't ask any of you take a punch, go to jail, none of that. I wouldn't ask any of you to do it. But I'm glad you stand with me while I do it. Because there's things I ain't doing. The best news about it is I haven't kept it a secret. So they leave me alone. And they're going to continue to leave me alone until they don't leave me alone. But I'll promise you one thing. I'll make you one promise. I ain't changing my story to fix my situation. Ain't doing it. So, Paul said in my chains, and for the defense and confirmation of the gospel, two things right there. How many of us have spent a lot of time, those really ministry to people, how many of us spend time defending the gospel? Proving to some non-believer? Well, you got to prove it. You got to convince him. I got to talk him into it. I love how Paul did it. In defense of the gospel and confirmation of the gospel. Paul lived in a way that everybody around him knew there had to be a God and something was happening. Because it was all time happening in his life. Even with one hand chained to the wall standing in a cistern. They knew. They watched them guys pray and jail cells would fly open and people would rise up from the dead and they, all this kind of stuff would happen around there. So whether you want to believe it or not, you know, there's people who believe in God that just don't want to. I got a lady like that in my life, and one day I asked her, I said, do you believe, you've been with me the whole time, worked for 30 years, I said, you've seen, do you believe God changed my life? She said, yeah, I saw it. Ha! You told me you didn't believe in God. You lied. You just don't want to believe in God. Because if you believe in God, then you got to start kind of paying attention. How many of y'all know this book will mess you up? It'll train wreck you, won't it, Gene? Huh? Turn you upside down, won't it? Curtis, turn you upside down, won't it? I don't want to believe in God. Might be one, but blah, blah, blah. But that confirmation, do you live in a way that God has confirmed? That people around you know? And he says, so, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. That's the part I'm working on. Right now, I think I love all of you like Steve. But I'm, you know, last week I disliked you. Now I love you like Steve. Y'all know I'm messing with you a little bit. I got to learn to love my fellow man like Jesus. And I think the most necessary preparation for me to go to war is to learn how to love like Jesus. Not love like church people, where we fake each other out one day a week. I got to learn how to love like Jesus, where you lay your life down. Would you lay your life down for somebody that's not even born yet? It's awful quiet. You got to decide this stuff. Some things I got to get figured out. So he says here, he said, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Listen to that. That's why we do chapter and verse around here. You got to have knowledge of the word to be able to discern what's going on. We got people in the world today that think they heard God, wouldn't know if they had too much chili on their chili dog last night. You got to have the word in you to be able to discern. So we do it, chapter and verse. We study the Bible in knowledge and discernment that you can approve the things that are excellent. How many of y'all believe that abortion is excellent? So is complacency the same as approval? Which y'all could have seen Brenda's face right then. Is apathy the same as approval? Is gay marriage excellent in the eyes of God? Unnatural behavior, is that excellent? Sovereignty. This Bible's all about sovereignty. Here's how we've messed that one up. We took the word sovereign and told people that God is in control and everything happens for a reason. No, God is sovereign and he rules. A lot of things happen because we're stupid. That's how that happens. Sovereignty. Do you know in order to be a sovereign nation, it is an absolute requirement to have secure borders? Do you know the kingdom of God has secure borders? Do you know there's only one gate into the kingdom of God and it's sovereign? It is ruled by a king? Understand sovereignty. So when we talk about these things, knowledge and wisdom and discerning what's good, is a dismantled southern border to our country excellent? No, it's a disaster. And you got people in the highest offices in the land that don't understand that. That's not racist. That's not anything else. That racism thing, I'm over it. Rashad, are you black? No? Am I white? So how can I call you black and you call me white? That ain't fair. So we just won't talk about it, and that'll get you unblack and get me unwhite. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Best black guy I know. Love that guy. He likes me. That's excellent. Okay? The owl not so sharptens in the world that promote victimization. Promote a victim mentality, that's not excellent. Being victorious in Christ Jesus, that's excellent. So look what he's saying right here. He says that you can discern and approve of the things that are excellent. You young couples, decide today what's excellent for your life. Don't just get saved for heaven after you die. Find out what's excellent. How many of you believe that this Bible would have the most excellent way to run a horse sale? It does. Yes, and it's real simple. There's not a methodology to it. It's just treasure people more than you do money and your business will prosper. That's the simplicity of running a horse sale out of the Bible. It's not even about praying over it every time or preaching every time I get a microphone. It's just valuing people more than money. Simple thing, but that's excellent. See what's most excellent. Our own kids have had to make some decisions this year about what they believe is most excellent for their family. Doesn't come without some hard decisions and ridicule and different things. Be able to discern for yourself what's excellent. Okay? I remember one line in the Bible where Paul writes, "Do the most excellent thing, dear Felix. Achieve excellence." So he goes on, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, there's a couple different ways to translate that. One is be sincere and without mistake, without sin. Whew. How many of y'all enjoy that one? You remember that old gal he met at the well there? Yeah, she had a lot of husbands, a lot of stuff. She had a lot of history. Told her about the living water and how she wouldn't thirst anymore, and she realized she's in the presence of God. What did he tell her to do? Go and sin no more. Told the auctioneer that one time. Then he told him again. And he told him again. He told him again. He told me the day before yesterday. Dadgummit, boy. But also, without offense, what offends you? What offends you? Well, I'm just offended by all the stuff on TV.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.